Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Matthew Stafford is apparently available. What is your interest level? What should be the Washington football team's interest level? We'll get into that in just a few minutes right here on Grant and Danny. Big, juicy top-of-the-hour segment with you. We are break-free for the next 20, so kick it with us on The Fan. Appreciate you guys making the show part of your day. Let's start, though, with some Nats news. I want to crowbar this in with you, even after yesterday's championship football, Danny, because there's a lot going on, and we care about it. So, number one, there was not a left-handed relief option that you could trust in this bullpen, with Sean Doolittle on his way out this offseason, and that changed yesterday. The team came to terms on a one-year deal, $10.5 million, with a pitcher by the name of Brad Hand. Hand broke into the big leagues in 2011 with the Marlins, became really good there in Miami, and then reached all-star status after moving on to San Diego. He has since pitched with a contender in Cleveland in the American League. Was an all-star in 2017, 2018, and 2019, and he would have been an all-star for a fourth straight year last year had that have been a thing. That wasn't, but he finished 21 games, which led the league. He had 16 saves, which also led the league. He had a 2.05 ERA, and in his 22 innings of work, he struck out 29 batters. Now, he's lost velocity. They're doing the same thing with him they've done in a couple other spots this offseason. They're going after a guy with some maybe problematic trends and hoping they can return him to form. But here's where you can be okay, I think, with worrying about Brad Hand, who's about to turn 31 years old, even as a volatile position as relief pitching is. The velo is down, but his slider is maybe the best slider in baseball. Think like Patrick Corbin, but he leans on it a little bit more, if that's hard to believe. But you know, that's kind of what it is. So left on left, he's a problem. That slider will help get him by, even if his velo is down. And again, last year on a team that thought it could win a World Series, he was the closer. He'll get save chances here. Right now, who's your closer? I mean, is it Tanner Rainey? I'm not really sure. Maybe they go double barrel action and hand in innings where they're dealing with lefties. Rainey gets the call in innings where they're dealing with righties. But this is a big-time addition for the Nats bullpen to bring in a three-time All-Star.
Yeah, it's nice to have choices. I mean, as you touched on, his career takes off when he gets to San Diego. His strikeout rate basically doubles from when he's in Miami. And, you know, just sort of found something. I would say, I think the hope in terms of velocity, though, is you look at a lot of guys who never
return from the battlefield, sir.
Well, that's Maria. We're talking about diagnosing arm strength and the difficulties therein. He never quite got the arm strength going in terms of velocity. Last year, Patrick Corbin's velo was down. A number of guys across the league experienced this. So maybe there's a hope that that's not really who he is in a full normal offseason, getting you up to spring training and ramping up. Maybe he's back in that low 90s range that he was over the last couple of seasons. But you're right. The slider's what plays. And his slider is just disgusting. It's evil. It's a menace. It steals things from people. It makes folks unhappy. It is dark and it is good. Having options, I think, at the end of the bullpen is a nice thing. And I think you're not going to have maybe some of the egos. You saw everybody pulling the rope in the same direction with this Nationals club in 2019. Davey Martinez, so good at kind of getting that out of them, where you don't have to have one guy that's the closer.
Sean Doolittle gets the save against the Dodgers. You know, Daniel Hudson's doing it, and Doolittle's doing it against the Cardinals the first couple games. Everybody's in this thing together, and it's a wonderful option for them to have. Chose them over the Mets, to be honest with you. I think probably because of some of the late-game opportunities that are coming. You like your veteran group down there in the bullpen, a welcome addition in Brad Hand.
Yeah, if you want to save games, the path is open here to do
right
that.
Right here, yeah.
I mean, you can see that there's a pretty easy lane paved for you that'll take you all the way to the closer's role if a couple things break in your favor and you bet on yourself to pitch well. Last year, he threw 91.4 miles per hour on average. The year before that, 92.7. The year before that, 93.6. So kind of the staircase last couple of years going down. Mm-hmm. But as you said, maybe if he's back to low 92s this year, you know, maybe it was COVID-related with the weird offseason and throwing programs not quite the same. You know, that could be beneficial. I just think even at 91, he proved with really strong success and decent peripherals, you know, he can still get outs, he can still miss barrels. And as I mentioned, the slider and the domination of that pitch is kind of going to be the key for him as it is. A strikeout percentage last year was at 33.7, which was on par with him in 2017, down a little bit from his monster 2018-2019 seasons. But he also walked fewer batters last year than he has at any point during his entire career. And that's important, right, being around the strike zone. So I just think $10.5 million, I've been waiting for them to spend some money. We keep saying, well, they're saving some cash. Where are they going to use it? This is clearly an area where they felt like if they could keep a few extra million, they could maybe win a little bit of a bidding war for Brad Hand for a year. And this is huge. You didn't have a lefty. You need to be able to get tough lefties out in this division, guys like Freddie Freeman. Even though you got to face three batters now, it's not like he only can face left-handed pitchers. You just can't go into a year without a proven left-hander in your bullpen. I refuse to believe that that was an option. The other guy that I want to talk to you about really quickly is Ryan Zimmerman. And this came down late last week, and we have had a chance just for a minute to talk about him. But I was talking to a friend this weekend, and he said, you know, have you looked at how close Zim is to the all-time records for the Expos and the Nationals organizationally? I said, no, honestly, I really haven't spent any time doing that. So he sent me a bunch of the numbers. He's going to break a lot of those records very likely this year, or he'll have a chance to if he plays a decent amount. And it made me think about two things. Number one, I wonder how important that was to him to come back. You know, if getting to some of these records matters at all. You know him better than I do. Mm-hmm. The second part, though, is I wonder if this will affect how the Nats use him. Like, Davey's such a player's guy, and there's such a good relationship between the manager and some of these players, that if he's a handful of games away from being the all-time record holder, and it's not just the Nats, right? This is Nats Expos. Why wouldn't you get it to him? But here are the numbers. 79 games away from the record. I think he'll get that this year, right?
From the games record, yeah.
131 at-bats, and he'll have had the most ever in this organization for either of the two spots.
Yeah, that's a conservative estimate, right? I mean,
he'll get that.
Double that at least, yeah.
Plate appearances, 46.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Done. So now he's the all-time leader in games, ABs, plate appearances. Runs, 12. He will get that. Walks, 164. I would say he will not get that. And it would be
164
impossible.
164 is a lot, yeah. That's by the way, Hall of Famer Rock Reigns all the way up at the top there.
Right. But he's not getting that, so leave that one out. Singles, 73. A little bit tougher than some of the others that we're talking about. But if he has a decent season, he's going to get 73 hits, right?
Yeah.
I think he gets that.
That's doable. With enough at-bats, that's doable.
Okay. I mean, if he doesn't have 73 singles and he's playing, you know, in a close to 100 games, I would say that's not great. Let's go 5 sack flies. Probably doesn't get that. And then the other one is outs made, which that's like the interceptions for the quarterback
dubious.
That's played a
lot. Yeah, I don't know if we want that.
So he'll probably get that. So my point is, by the end of this season, he'll be the all-time leader in games, ABs, plate appearances, runs, singles, maybe sack flies, and outs made in the organization's history. Do you think, first of all, that in any way was part of his decision to come back? Because I have to think that it was. Again, you know him a little bit better than I do. And then second, do you think that if you're Davey, you manage any differently as he gets closer to those? And I think that he will.
I think, and by the way, I don't see anything wrong with either. I do think it matters. I do think it mattered a little bit. Now, he's already got a lot of these things, whether it's hits, And as you mentioned, he's closing on runs scored, but total bases, runs batted in, franchise leader, right? He's there in home runs as well, 270, when you start adding all those up. There are other guys that played for this franchise with more career home runs, obviously, like Vlad Guerrero, Andre Dawson, some of these, you know, superstar Hall of Famers, but he's already at the top of those lists. He could be the first guy when you go to franchise leaders in the history of this franchise in a lot of categories. I do think stuff like that kind of matters to him. I mean, it's a, you know what the rep was for a while, right? It's like, well, here we go again. He's off injured. He's been really working super hard to shake that. You know, one of the things he told us, remember this was, I want to say it was 2018, where he was out with that plantar fasciitis, and you and I both, before we even, you know, said anything to him, we're like, dude, he looks shredded. He looks as cut up and, you know, not muscle bound, but like he's, like he's a male model all the way to a surfboard ad, right? It, kind of more lean than he'd been in some time. And he told us independently, he felt so good, and it was that much more exasperating that this foot thing was hampering him. And he still felt like he had a lot of good energy and a lot of good, you know, production left in his body. So I do think that kind of matters to him to sort of prove some of the doubters wrong in that regard. He also just loves playing. We forget about that. This is a game. And the idea that you get to play a game more and you still feel like you can do it, you're going to go do it if you can, you know? And I think the prep and the off-field time and all the weightlifting and the plyometrics and the miserable stretching and the yoga and all that other kind of stuff, that's not as much fun to get ready. But going out and hitting a baseball is awesome. It's like one of the greatest things you could do as a human being. And he's going to keep doing it as long as he can.
All right, one final Nats thing to hit on, and then we'll get to Matt Stafford's availability. And that'll be in just a couple of minutes this segment here on Grant and Danny. But off the field, Masson is the network that everybody watches for Nats games, okay? So there's a lot of moving parts here and a lot of the things, frankly, that people don't care about. But here's what affects you guys listening who are Nationals fans. Generally, you get a half-hour pregame show and a half-hour postgame show as the shoulder programming on Masson around the baseball game. There was a story done by Britt Giroli of The Athletic where she did some digging and found out a bunch of the changes coming to Masson. And it sounds like some of the staples of Nats broadcasts, buddies of ours like sideline reporter Alex Chappell and perhaps former sideline reporter turned pre- and post-host Dan Colco and Bo Porter and some of these other faces for both the Nationals and the Orioles, by the way, are going to be either not involved or involved in a more limited capacity. Because, supposedly, there will be no pre- and post-game show. I can't tell you first how heartbreaking this is for me as a person in this industry, because what is happening to my business that I love so much, that I care so much about? I mean, is everyone this poor, all these companies this poor, that they can't do anything the right way anymore, number one? Number two, so difficult and unfair to hear about these great employees and people who have meant so much to the memories and the fondness of our, you know, feelings for the organization of some of these folks, but this is not the South Atlantic League. You know, this is not the Carolina League with the Frederick Keys where the game just comes on at 7 and we didn't get a pregame show. So supposedly there will be no pregame, there will be no postgame, and they may have a sideline reporter some of the time. This is kind of the latest right now. It's going to be Bob and FP, and I'm not sure what else at this point. So first of all, good that those two guys are still there. But what are we doing here? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. This is a team in the number six media market in the country with a massive following that won a World Series 2 years ago. This is not some also-ran market where a couple people watch games and the team is irrelevant in some low-level minor league affiliate somewhere. I just cannot believe this is a thing.
This is an embarrassment, to be very frank with you. This is not Nationals. This is not when the games weren't on cable at all because Masson wasn't part of most cable packages and people couldn't find them. As you said, they've grown. It's not time for this. This is embarrassing. Everyone should be ashamed of themselves. The Nationals have issued a statement on this, and they are very clear here. They're pulling zero punches. Masson has notified us they're parting ways with Dan Colco, Bo Porter, and Alex Chappell. In addition, Masson has cut Nats Extra to just 15 minutes pre- and postgame. To say that we are incredibly disappointed and upset by Masson's decision would be a gross understatement. To be clear, these decisions were made by Masson and against our wishes. As we have expressed both to Masson and Major League Baseball, we are very concerned about the negative impact these decisions could have on our fans, especially now when content shared via broadcast and digital channels is vital for them to stay connected with our team. We want to thank Bo, Dan, and Alex for their professionalism and for being good stewards of our team's story over the years. They're part of the Nationals family, and it goes on from there. I need to stress to you something that you said to double down on it. This should not be happening. I don't care what your finances are. Cut something else. You don't do this. This is professional baseball. This is not that show that you do in that studio in Towson with like a fuzzy backdrop with four old writers talking about both teams that goes on for 2 hours sometimes. This is the games. This is the jewel. This is the bread and butter. If you got to come to them and say, hey, guys, we're sorry. We might have to take a little bit of a haircut like the rest of the world has because we didn't have some of the income that we should have had over the last year and a half. Whatever. We can play ball. They're just firing people and not having programming. I'd be ashamed. This is untenable and ridiculous. I don't know what the fix is. I'm not smart enough to know it. I do know that Major League Baseball needs to look at this situation. When you look at organizations like the Dodgers, who could print their own money, the Yankees, the Mets, the WGN, like you look at the local Chicago broadcasting deals and the trend line and what's happening here in Washington and to another degree Baltimore, to be honest with you, it ain't fair to the Orioles either. What they're doing to cannibalize that broadcast. This should not be happening. This cannot be allowed to go on. This is not what we need to be doing here. We need to be doubling down on the opposite. More programming related to these teams as they try to get themselves ingrained into this community. Just an absolute disgrace that it's come to this.
And the part of the statement that I love that you just kind of hit on is the possible, and it's not possible, but that's what the team said, negative ramifications for the fan base. It's extremely negative. People are learning less about the team. People are falling in love less with the team. This is your basic shoulder programming. I've got a rule for you, Bill Maher style, new rule. If you're not able to provide me 1.5 hour pregame and postgame to analyze the game after it happens and to preview it before it happens, you don't get to broadcast the games, period. That is the basic requirement as far as I'm concerned. It's a basic requirement. And I know the landscape is changing and the business is changing. And you guys mostly at home don't care as long as when you turn on the TV you get to see the games. But I can't tell you, for me, as someone who's just grown up a sports fan, watching every minute of all of this. You know, when I used to ride around in a car, riding to my uncle's house a couple hours away, I used to fake provide keys to the game. And I think the company at the time was, I could name it, but I've got a car deal now, so I won't. But I used to write down the keys to the game like I was Jim Palmer. And I would recite this, and my dad and my mom would be like, what are you doing? Please be quiet immediately. I can't tell you how frustrating this is. That this is Major League Baseball, and this is what's happening. And there are Major League Baseball teams that are more irrelevant in their markets where this would still be unacceptable.
It's a disgrace.
Market number 6, nation's capital, World Series champions in the last season that actually mattered where there was real baseball. And this is the result. And by the way, you just want these people like Dan Colco, who's been around for years, to now just drift into the sunset and be gone? Alex Chappell gets to send out one tweet. Supposedly they don't know if they're going to air any spring training games. Do your job.
Disgraceful.
What are we doing here?
I don't know what the fix is. I want to spend hours on this just ranting and raving like a lunatic. I think you've said it far more eloquently and succinctly than I can. I'm just so upset about this. I don't even know where to look. I don't even know which way to turn. I know this, that Major League Baseball, to appease that monster, right, in Peter Angelos' demand, and every other business in the history of mankind, competition moving in simply meant you've got to double your efforts. You've got to work harder. In fact, the opposite is being incentivized here. They started this monster years ago to appease Angelos by allowing the quote-unquote Nationals to move into his territory, end quote. I don't know how that's necessarily something we've just allowed and bought into, but that's how this got started, right? And this is the end result of that.
And let me
somehow.
Say, too, before
Masson
we run out
so
of time,
impoverished and they can't
we've
figure
missed
it out.
An important point here. We have, and that's our own fault. Supposedly, according to Britt Giroli's story in The Athletic, Masson told the Nationals, essentially, you can have a pre- and a post-game show if you pay for it.
You pay for it.
Now, think about that, okay? Just in any situation. But in this situation, where the Nationals are constantly fighting in court because they claim that they're owed, I think it's hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, yeah. Where basically they would tell you that Masson has not been the partner that they need or want, and that this has been a disaster. And now they come to them and say, well, we'll do the bare minimum 30-minute pre and post that every network has done since the beginning of time, but you have to pay for it.
You have to pay for it. Every Olive Garden in the country serves breadsticks. Not this one. You got to pay extra for those if you want the guy to come to your table with a smile. I cannot tell you how unacceptable this is. And I don't know what the fix is. I don't know what the bylaws are. I don't know who has to get involved. I don't know what lawyer with an awesome suit and a briefcase has to set up shop, but do it immediately. Do it immediately. This is so terrible. Masson, are you kidding me? Thank you.
So I have two issues here. You're focusing on one of them, which is the Masson part of this and this specific story. For me, it is a little bit more disheartening from the grand scheme of this, the industry, the business. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing today, and a lot of it is COVID, but not all of it. Companies will blame COVID, and they'll tell you that COVID changed us, and we now – a lot of it is it's been a long time coming. It started before COVID. It's an excuse. It's not just TV, by the way. Won't do us any good to get into – it's everything. Mm. And I can just be an old man screaming about it, or I can kind of move along and just get on and try to just keep swinging the axe. But, you know, for a lot of people, whatever your passion is that you've loved your whole life, imagine if it just started to change constantly to the point where it seems like you don't even know what it's going to look like in 5 or 10 years. Like, if it's even going to be there anymore.
But thanks for letting me stream it on my phone as long as I already paid for cable. What a benevolent gift, Masson. I'll never understand how this happened. I'll never understand how a network owned by two Major League Baseball teams in disequal proportions somehow can't broadcast the games of the teams adequately. I'll never understand it. I'll never get it. We'd like you to print some money. Nope, not for us. No programming. Everybody's fired, said the boobs at the top. Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable!
Beltway Blitz at 4. 5 at 5 coming up, weirdly enough, at 5. I know that's crazy.
That's going to be at 5, yeah.
Hour and 40 minutes from now. All right, let's get into Matt Stafford next. He is available, and Washington may be one of the front runners for him should they push the chips in to go get Stafford. You're listening to Grant Stanton.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
D&D on the Fan, a Tom Flyman, Darris Dameron production. Thank you guys for listening to the show, as always. Non-AFC-NFC championship game division. With the Bucs and the Chiefs advancing to Super Bowl 55 yesterday, and the seasons of Green Bay and Buffalo ending 2 wins shy of where those teams wanted to go. The biggest story in the NFL over the weekend was the news that Matthew Stafford is no longer going to be in Detroit and that he is moving on from the Lions. He and the team apparently have amicably decided to go in separate directions when he approached them after hearing a lot of the rumors that he could be on the block about wanting to be traded. So it sounds like everybody's happy. They want picks. They need to rebuild. They know that Stafford can get them those things, and he wants to try to go compete somewhere else, knowing that he's not going to get that opportunity with the Lions. Danny, immediately then the question becomes, well, what teams are in play for him? And you rule out the teams that have quarterbacks, Baltimore and Buffalo and Cleveland and Cincy and Tennessee, and that list goes on and on, Kansas City and the Chargers and the Packers and what have you. But when you get to the teams that really need quarterbacks that are contenders, a lot of them don't have good cap situations. The Saints, the Steelers. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, a team like Washington, quarterback starved, with cap space, with draft picks, becomes a pretty interesting suitor. And there are teams like Indianapolis that might make a little bit more sense, but not many of them. In fact, the Colts are the one team that you hear all the national reporters name ahead of Washington. Other clubs are New England, San Francisco, but they've got a Jimmy Garoppolo issue they'd have to sort out. Carolina, not quite in as good a shape as Washington to make the move, but they could be in play. Denver, Dallas, they got Drew Lock, and you don't know what's happening with Dak Prescott. But this is actually a possibility. The Deshaun Watson thing's a pipe dream that everyone's going to keep talking about.
This one's more real.
This is way closer to being a thing that could actually happen.
Yeah, I think Matt Stafford saw Mr. eat his kneecaps and arm wrestle a bear, you know, bite face off, three punches, and we're out. Campbell gave a press conference and said, "You know what, I'm good. If I could just go to another team, if we could just part company, that would probably be for the best at this stage." But yeah, enter Washington. I mean, the place that makes the most sense for any quarterback ready-made to walk in and be competitive is the Colts. Right? You just saw Philip Rivers do it. The ghost of Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers hasn't been good in a few years. And you and I talked about him as a Hall of Famer when his retirement was announced last week, but he hasn't been the same guy. He walked in, had a very nice season. They went 11-5. If you have some competence at quarterback, that Colts team is ready-made for you. Come on down. Lots and lots of cap space. $64 million worth, according to overthecap.com. The second most in the NFL. And once they make a couple of re-signings, the draft picks happen, etc., that is a group that is ready to compete in a pretty competitive division, right, when it comes to Tennessee and them as well. So that's the number one candidate for any quarterback moving around, because the Colts won't be in a great spot to draft somebody. They're going to have the most. But you've got to mention Washington here. You just do. Because of the cap space they have, they'll have even more if and when they part company with Alex Smith. And the thing that I keep coming back to, they don't have the draft pick ammunition that, say, Miami does, or maybe some other folks might, in terms of extra first-round picks, extra twos, etc. What they do have is a glut of young players on the rookie deals that have performed at a very high level, especially on defense. And I'm wondering if that's the way that's your seasoning. That's your way to stand out in terms of an offer to somebody else, right, where you swap a pick in the early teens or a pick in the 20s, and that's all well and good. Or if you go, I'll give you Daron Payne. How exciting is that for Detroit to unload something like that? Who knows if that's what gets it done.
But you better give up a pick, too.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Like the idea being your offer could be better than somebody else's, and that's how it could stand out. You can afford to move on from a Tim Settle. You can afford to move on from one of your young defensive linemen or a Matt Ioannidis or whatever it is, because you've got enough depth right there. You've established some young pieces that are very good. That may be the way to stand out instead of just throwing in another second round pick a year from now. So who knows how it could happen, but you have to mention Washington as a potential landing spot because it makes sense.
Yeah, they're a top five landing spot according to the odds makers right now, which is exciting. I mean, the same kind of drill being done on Deshaun Watson. They're middle of the pack, and I mean among the 32 teams as far as likeliness to trade for Deshaun Watson, and that is assuming, hypothetically, that he were to get moved. And most people say that's not going to be a thing. He's not going to be traded, whereas we now know that Stafford will be. I think this would be a massive win for this football team if they could bring him in. I was surprised by the number of fans I saw online, social media, and I don't know how authentic that is to how people actually feel, that were against the idea. And it's a lot of the same flawed reasoning that you see in a lot of places. What has he ever won? How many playoff victories? He couldn't get the Lions to the Super Bowl. Why is he going to do it here? What's his record? You know, all that kind of crap. Bottom line is he's a really good quarterback. He has been for a long time. The question with Matthew Stafford is injury history. He's had a back problem. He's had a shoulder problem. He seems to be banged up all the time. Look no further than when he played Washington and lit them up all over the place this past year. He had like a thumb that day where he was like on the sideline, and then he came back in and threw a couple more touchdowns. There seems to always be something going on with him, and so that's part of bringing him in. The contract, and we can get into the specifics, is not terrible. For a franchise QB, it's, I won't quite call it friendly, but it's certainly not problematic over the next couple of years. The question just becomes, if you'd be willing, if it takes winning a bidding war, are you willing to do that? Or would you rather figure it out another way. Whether that is an Allen Heinicke competition for now and waiting until you pick high enough, maybe in a year. Whether that is bringing in someone that is not of a Stafford's caliber that becomes available as this quarterback carousel sorts itself out this year. Because with Deshaun Watson wanting out of Houston and Stafford leaving Detroit, you had Aaron Rodgers saying yesterday he's not sure about his future. There's talk that the Raiders would be willing to get one of those guys maybe and trade Derek Carr. Then he becomes available. Or Marcus Mariota, who's their backup, becomes available. Now, that's the tier, if you're not in on Stafford, that you're looking at. Like, if the 49ers want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, is that something that you'd be interested in when they unload him because they're able to upgrade to one of these better QBs? That's what Washington's got to figure out.
Right.
I read this paragraph, by the way. This is in ESPN.com, the guy that covers the Lions that wrote this. And I just, it hurts for a Lions fan reading this. Listen to this. It says, as far as what they want back, compensation, It says, Detroit wants and needs the picks. New general manager Brad Holmes would like to build through the draft, and he has only 5 picks at this moment for 2021. With many holes on defense, in parentheses, basically every position, and now questions on offense at quarterback, running back, receiver, and to an extent the offensive line, the more chances to bring in young talent, the better. What a picture you've just painted for new head coach Dan Campbell, but at least they're going to bite people's kneecaps.
Well, so once we get knocked down, we'll bite your kneecap.
Their needs include, according to this person who covers them, every position on defense. And on offense, their questions are at quarterback, running back, receiver, and the offensive line.
Good Lord.
So I guess they're set at tight end. Is that what we just learned about
Detroit? They drafted Hockenson a couple years ago, so yes, they're set there.
They are good to go. Wait,
good to
next
go.
Stop, where's the Super Bowl next year?
Print
your flight tickets now. But I think they want picks. You know, you mentioned Payne. Like, I'm all in on throwing a defensive lineman and a pick in there. But I would start with the 19th overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm offering that up right now today on a phone call. Hey, here's your starting point. Number 19 overall this year. Let's work on a deal around that pick. And that selection, maybe, you know, if you could do that plus a player, I would do that tonight. And I'm not giving up Chase Young or Terry McLaurin, but let's talk about some options. The other thing I would do is, and I don't know if everyone agrees with this, but we could take calls at 800-636-1067. Curious to see where you're at on this. I'll offer the 19th this year and a second next year for Matt Stafford, and I'll have that deal done tonight. No problems asked. No question about it. This year's one, next year's two. If that's good to get this thing done, and I think it would, by the way, from Detroit's standpoint, let's do. Where do we sign on the dotted line? How about you?
So, for me, you've got to find a way to beat some of the other teams because the Patriots have better odds, for example. If they're in and they offer their first-round pick, well, that's a better first-round pick than yours. So, yeah, that's why I'm all in on using my sweetener. But yes,
would you give up a one this year and a two next year to do it?
Yes, I would. Yes, okay. I would. So, but that's my answer. If it comes down just to picks and they have no interest in some of the young players that Washington has that could throw one as part of a deal, then I would. I would go one and a two. This position is too important. He's got years left. He still moves around. You could still see him push the football down the field. The athletic skill set hasn't gone anywhere. To me, he needs out of Detroit, and he needs a good situation, and I think Washington could provide that.
Let's open up the AAA Always On Call listener lines at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. All right, let's go level of interest or urgency, whatever you want to say. But let's go like 1 to 100 on this thing, percentage. And let's just say your level of urgency on a 1 to 100 scale, and then what you think the team's level of interest would be. So, like, for me on Matt Stafford, I'm probably a 90. And I feel like the team is a 70, is my guess.
Mm.
I think they're more okay being patient. Ron Rivera doesn't feel like he's going anywhere. He's just making moves like he's going to be here as the grand poobah for the next bunch of years. Doesn't seem like he's in a rush. By the way, they just won the division, even though it was a 7-9 division championship. So he's probably feeling pretty comfortable right now in his seat. Dan Snyder's tennis, some much bigger fish he's got on the fryer than Ron Rivera's job security, who's beloved universally and seems to be well-liked by the fan base. So if he goes into this year with Beck and Grossman, a.k.a. Heinicke and Allen, and then this is like his second year, he's fine at Shanahan style, but finding the quarterback before year three. My desperation far exceeds theirs. I have no interest in that. I will do it, and if it ends up being Kyle Allen, I think he could be serviceable. to the extent that Alex Smith was. But I think you can actually win in this conference, right? Now, look at what the Bucs just did. And everyone will say, oh, they have Tom Brady. He threw three picks yesterday. They're the five seed, and they've gotten their way to a Super Bowl. Like, it can happen. The door is open. It's not the AFC where you got to deal with a who's who at QB over the next couple of seasons with Mahomes and some of the young stars that have emerged, MVP-type candidates. So I'm a 90 out of 100 on interest, and I think the team's probably around a 70 or so, and I wish it was higher. What about you?
My interest is 100. I never want to ride the carousel again. Every second that it's not a bona fide franchise star is a mistake. Do whatever you have to do. You put yourself in a spot because you won too many games this year in a bad division. Do whatever you have to do to acquire the bona fide franchise quarterback. That's what this is. I think their interest is like a 50. I really think that everybody thinks they're so smart. We'll do this with Kyle Allen and watch him get hurt in like the second quarter of the first game because he dives head first for, you know, to make it a 3rd and 7. I really think they're okay with less than ideal at quarterback, and I'm not okay with that.
I get that front office people often think they're smart, but when you bring in a couple of guys, you know what makes you look really smart is if you're able to win. You know, if you do something that works. And if they can come in here and all of a sudden you trade for Stafford, like nobody asks a whole lot of questions about how things turned around. They just talk about and give credit to all of a sudden Washington's winning playoff games again. Look at the brain trust. Look at this genius, Herney, and this genius who came in from San Francisco, Mayhew. It's not that you have a franchise quarterback for the first time in your existence since you last won Super Bowls. 800-636-1067 is the number. What's your interest in trading for Matthew Stafford? What do you think the team's level of interest in that would be? G&D on the Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. The Lions and Matt Stafford are breaking up, and Stafford's going to be available. And the question is, with Washington considered a top five landing spot for Stafford, what is your interest in bringing him in? That means trading draft picks. Starting point would be a first rounder. Maybe picks and players for Matthew Stafford. Ages 33 and 34 seasons for the next 2 years. His cap number would be $33 million. Not that bad for a quarterback who's been in the top 10 in a lot of categories for many years. And then next year, $26 million, which is, in fact, a bargain, frankly. That's what you're dealing with for the next couple of years. Really not that bad a scenario. I mean, you would sign him if he's a free agent to much more than that over the next 2 years. So you're getting...
It would cost more, yeah.
I stop short of saying a team-friendly deal, but maybe I shouldn't. I mean, that's about as friendly as it gets for a franchise quarterback, which he has proven to be. There is some baggage. There are some questions. You know, injury concerns, health things. Obviously, the track record does not show that he's won Super Bowls or had playoff success. He's been in Detroit. There's a reason for that. That team has not been on the verge of doing that. They haven't had a running game. They haven't had a defense in years and years and years. It was kind of him fighting the world. But you could bring him in here and you could give it a go. What's your interest? What's the team's interest? 800-636-1067. I'm a 90. Danny's a 100. I think the team is a 70. Danny thinks the team is at a 50 on a 1 in 100 scale. Let's go to Robert in Arlington who wants to hop in. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I think I'm around a 52. I feel like this is a I don't know the stats lineup, but I feel like it's the Donovan McNabb kind of thing of bringing in a big name who's been successful but on the decline of a career, and I wouldn't do it, especially not giving up really good draft picks.
So let me ask you a quick follow-up then, if I may. What's your plan at quarterback?
Well, here's my weakness, but maybe Heineke, or maybe if we don't have to – use such strong picks, but I just, I'm not sure we're about to win it next year. And I'm just not, I feel like the draft picks you're talking about are kind of going a little bit too all in for me.
Understood. Appreciate the call. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
You're never going to be about to win it until you make a move to get a quarterback. You're never going to be about to win it when you don't have a quarterback. Those two things are an impossibility. You'll never look at the roster and say, you know, all they need, if let's just get that quarterback because they're about to win it. You need a quarterback to feel that way. Heinicke, when you had me until you said Heinicke, and it's not a knock on Taylor Heinicke. My wife's going to get mad. She's all in. She's buying a jersey. She loves the guy. She wants to sign him for 10 years. I get it. You don't want Stafford? Reasonable. What's your plan? And his point is more of the same. I'm just not interested in more of the same.
So I get the McNabb comp, but I would knock it for a couple different reasons. I know that it wasn't that long ago, but I do think the world is different. I mean, Donovan McNabb was not in great shape by the end. I mean, you saw what happened in the Super Bowl where they couldn't do the hurry-up offense, and you know kind of the story. Quarterbacks and players by and large are taking care of themselves much better than they were a handful of years ago. The rules have evolved where you can't hit them. Matt Stafford missed 8 games in the 2019 season. Other than that, there's a lot of 16s next to his ledger. So I don't know. I don't know if it's apples to apples. I get your point about, you know, the franchise team or the franchise that this guy has been with for so long doesn't have any interest anymore. Does it want him? And buyer beware in Washington because it hasn't worked out. I get the reticence. I also put my sort of, you know, my cerebral approach. I put it out the window. Franchise quarterback desperation. I'll try anything. Please share my desperation. And that's probably not a great way to do business, to be honest with you. But I am desperate. I can't change that.
You're back into a bucket where quarterback is not going to be why you cannot compete. You had that for a couple of years. You don't have it right now. I need to be there. And the ceiling, by the way, is higher than that. The ceiling is he's healthy, you protect him, and you actually have a good defense, which you never had in Detroit. And maybe you take flight. But right now, you have a quarterback position that is debilitating and that is a detriment and that gives you no chance. I want to get out of that group, and I want to get into a group where the quarterback position actually does the opposite. Ed's in Arlington online, too. What's up, Ed? How are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, listen. Matthew Stafford is fine, but no way. I would not go with him right now because you're asking for more drama. You know, is he going to perform, yes or no? Is there's a guy named Aaron Rodgers who is ready to split with his team. Okay, that guy to me is head and shoulders a much better choice than Matthew Stafford. Why are we talking about bringing him in? Can you imagine bringing in Aaron Rodgers with a chip on his shoulder?
Yes, that would be great, and I would love to bring in Aaron Rodgers. I think everybody listening would prefer that. Thanks for the call. It's not really an option. And when we find out number one that he's leaving, maybe that's a topic we can do. What we have on Aaron Rodgers is that he's under contract. It's a very difficult contract to trade, by the way. And the Packers are not going to want to let him out. Now, if he kicks and screams and throws a fit and forces his way out, okay, possibly. But he's not leaving there to go to Washington. He's leaving there to go to San Francisco, his hometown that was recently in the Super Bowl. He's leaving there to go to Indianapolis, 11-5 this year. He's not leaving there to go to a place where they haven't won in 30 years. But if it becomes a story that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are parting ways and he will be traded, you bet your bottom dollar we'll talk about it as whether or not Washington can get into that mix. We're just not there yet. After a loss yesterday in a press conference, he said his future is unknown. Well, no kidding. You're 37 years old. Do you want to stay? Do you not want to stay? And the team drafted a first-round pick this past year. It doesn't change that contract is really, really hard to trade.
If he becomes available, all bets are off. But, you know, keep us posted on if and when he does become available. And if you're asking me would I prefer Aaron Rodgers, even going into his age 38 season over Matt Stafford, I would, 100 times out of 100. I'd prefer Aaron Rodgers to everybody right now, probably, but Pat Mahomes and maybe Allen. But I'd still probably feel safer with Aaron Rodgers, to be honest with you. But, yeah, if he's available, we'll do that. But in the meantime, sort of down here on Earth where we have two parties that have said, yes, we're splitting in Lions and Matt Stafford. This is more realistic, more affordable, more cost-effective right now.
By the way, I would take Deshaun Watson over Matthew Stafford. One of those things has a single-digit percent chance of happening. The other one, you're a top-five favorite among the odds makers, and it's actually plausible possibility. I wouldn't say it's likely, but it is very, very possible that that could happen. One is fantasy football, and the other is something that might take place. G&D on the Fan, the Beltway Blitz is next. Unprecedented, Dan. First time ever on the Blitz.
That's right.
All four teams in town.
Yeah!
The football team, the basketball team, the hockey team, the baseball team. Ooh, it's going to be juicy. Make sure you're listening next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.